Blog Talk Radio.
Military men thought when they did their took their oath and did what they thought was their duty, whether they were in all our wars, whether they were on the enemy side or on our side. I chose November. I thought it was interesting that more top military leaders were born in November, according to my research, than any other month. And let's get into some of them. They're quite interesting. We have, of course, Winston Churchill. Spencer Churchill, who was half American. His mother was American, Jenny Jerome, who married Lord Churchill, Lord Randolph Churchill. And Churchill had an interesting career. He was First Lord of the Admiralty, the British Navy's Admiralty, which would be like our Department of the Navy. He was in World War One with that, and then he was at the disaster at Gallipoli. He resigned and went into the trenches in France. In World War II, he was First Lord of the Admiralty again, and then later became Prime Minister and Chief British Warlord. General George Patton was born on Veterans Day, or Armistice Day, in 1885. Albert Kesselring, a lot of people don't know who he was. He was a famous Luftwaffe commander. He commanded, actually, Rommel. He was commander of the Southern Front in Europe, and he was supposed to be a very, very gifted and British brilliant Luftwaffe commander in chief. Bernard Montgomery, you know who he was, the victor over Rommel at El Alamein, and he was deputy commander at Eisenhower at D-Day, and also he came up with that bridge too far disaster in Europe in World War II. General that you don't, Field Marshal that you don't hear much about, although he was actually born in a Polish Jewish family, and the family converted. Von Manstein, and of course, one of Bill Clinton's amours or whatever, girlfriends, the one he claimed he had no sex with that woman, carries the same name or from the same clan. Von Manstein was born in 1887. The great General Charles de Gaulle, famous aristocratic French family that originally fled from Ireland, 1890. Dietrich von Chorlitz, unless you saw his Paris burning, von Chorlitz was the commander in Paris, and he disobeyed Hitler's orders to destroy the city because he thought Hitler was insane, and he surrendered Paris to the Allies, which was General Leclerc, who was born in 1902. Leclerc's quite famous. After the war, he went to Vietnam to try to negotiate a peace treaty. Now, we can't forget Erwin Rommel, probably of all these guys, and Patton is the most, probably more known than anybody else. of the World War II generals. And then, of course, Admiral King, Ernest J. King, was the commander-in-chief of the U.S. Navy during World War II. Russian, if you don't hear about, but just we hear about the terrorist weapon that he developed, the Kalashnikov. General Kalashnikov invented one of the most deadly automatic weapons in history, and it was cheap, easily manufactured, and cheap parts were cheaply made, not cheap to make. It was very effective and is a very effective weapon used by both terrorists and guerrillas. Losing my voice, sorry. And now we had, and of course, we had the famous guns. The Garand was a Canadian who legally emigrated to the U.S., and he invented the Garand rifle, which he sold to the U.S. Army in World War I and World War II. Among the, this was an excerpt from the book that I had started, and got trouble with the publisher. That went bankrupt. Easy Pickings. Now, there are a lot of, this is the season for charitable solicitation, so-called, and there are a lot of, still a lot of con games under the guise of charity. So to avoid being taken, and nobody likes to be taken, and Americans are the most generous people in the world, I believe, or among the most generous people in the world, ask whether the charity is, or the people who operate the charity, not only how much money, how much percentage of what you donate is actually going to help people, ask whether they're making political campaign contributions if they receive government, any type of government grant. Are they making political campaign contributions to politicians and political officials, public officials who have any oversight of government funds, whether it's state, local, or federal? Also, these cans that you see at the grocery stores and that, I've asked them to the stores that who audits these things. No response. A lot of money's collected there. Now, if you're a senior or you're disabled, stores like Goodwill on Tuesdays, at least out here, you get, I think it's 10 to 20% off. And if you're disabled or homeless, they do give you clothes that are donated. So, again, what I tell people, ask and expect to receive. If you don't ask, you're not going to receive. Now, we're going to do part two on the generals and the admirals who was all, these guys who were all born in November, and we'll give you a little biographic, a little biographical squib on them. Some of them are quite interesting, like Leclerc and von Chorlitz and Manstein. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. Now, also, we should not forget the Reverend Jim Jones, his political racketeer. He was involved in terrorism here in San Francisco. And also, what was the People's Temple is now a government building. Quite interesting. This is also the birthday of Samuel Clemens, also known as Mark Twain. That was the name he wrote under. And also, this is the anniversary of the death of Oscar Wilde, who was sent to prison under the sodomy laws. His lover, Bosie, betrayed him. And his Bosie's father was the Marquess of Queensberry. That's where we get that term, Marquess of Queensberry rules. He was a real brute, and he broke the rules for boxing. And some of my things still apply today. And Oscar Wilde was a great humorist, born in Ireland of the Anglo-Irish. And he had, was married, and then that didn't work out. He had kids, and he went to serve some time in jail, and he wrote one of his most famous pieces called The Ballad of Reading Jail. And when he came to America, but this is before he got busted for quote, sodomy laws in England, although a lot of people were in the upper classes were involved, whether they were in what they call the public schools, like Harrow or Eton. This is something that's called, it was called the English Vice. He came to America, and they asked him at customs, what, do you have anything to declare? He says, only my genius. Now, we mustn't forget the greatest American march composer, also wrote operettas, and he was in the U.S. Marine Corps band, John Philip Sousa. His mother was German, his father was Portuguese, and of course, I think it's appropriate that to play Salute to Sousa, as he, this is a rare recording of him conducting his most famous composition, The Stars and Stripes. Thank you. Well, though, we don't know how many Americans or British play poker, or even if the British play poker. But we went with our usual politics and poker, and of course, it would be interesting. We don't know the habits of some of the German generals, what they did for entertainment, but we do know that General Patton, for instance, liked to ride horses, and of course, the famous, Lipizzaners, which he, in effect, saved. And so we'll play a clip from the captain who ran the Vienna Riding Academy, a Spanish Riding Academy. It's a rare interview. I caught him when he was here in San Francisco. So we had our usual politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five.
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say, neither one. I never even met him.
I say, when you got a pair of jacks, better.
Politics and poker, politics and poker. Shuffle up and cards and find the joker. Need a game for children, need a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick. Politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrays.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll call.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyachinkovich, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker. Play for a pot, that's mediocre. Politics and poker, running neck and neck.
Peter Paul Mazzola. We'll be back Wednesday, December 2nd, and we'll have part two of some biographical squibs on all these famous military men, military leaders. Some are quite fascinating. So we'll end, stay warm, and we'll have more coming up. Thanks for listening.